Once again, a good evening to you. Thank you for your attendance during this service. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. I'd like to continue our study here in this foundational book. The book of Genesis, the first book of the Old Testament, is foundational to the whole Bible. And you'll note in this last chapter, there are 26 verses, and over half of these verses deal with the burial of Jacob, which is very interesting. And we're going to note some further principles here in Genesis chapter 50 concerning Jacob's burial, and Joseph and his brothers fulfilling the father's will to have their father buried back in Canaan. Let's note here in Genesis chapter 50, verses 5 and 6. Let's read. My father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die in my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan. There shalt thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, Go up and bury thy father, according as he made thee swear or promise. So here within this chapter, we see that Father Jacob steps into eternity. Verses 1 and 2, we see that Joseph laments the departure of his father. And verse number 2, he commands the preparation of the body. And we stressed the other week that the Egyptians were known for their detailed embalming process, and that took no less than 40 days to complete. And following that preparation of the body was a time period of 70 days of mourning. And we noted from this that in fulfilling the father's will, Joseph was prepared to take and make all necessary preparations for the burial. And we have made the application thus far that in order for you and I to fulfill the father's will, there is a need to be prepared. Joseph is fulfilling the father's will and was prepared to do what was needful in order to fulfill the Father's wishes. And I just wonder whether you and I are prepared to do what God wills, and are we prepared to do what is needful so that we will be well equipped, well prepared to do what He calls us to do. So we noted the principle of preparation. And certainly the Egyptians were very diligent in that regard. They considered the afterlife a serious issue, and therefore they did not rush, but they prepared the body for the afterlife. And I wonder, my friend, are you prepared for the afterlife? The Bible teaches us, prepare to meet thy God. I trust that you are prepared to meet your God. And then also we note here in Genesis chapter 50 that Joseph, though he is a man of great authority, he is second in charge of all of Egypt. He could pretty much do as he pleased, in a sense. Pharaoh was above him. And we see within verses 4 to 6 that Joseph asked for permission to fulfill his father's will. He didn't just do as he wished. He understood that he was under authority. He was prepared to fulfill the will of his father, but he was prepared to do so only under the authority that he was under. Pharaoh was his authority. So he rightfully asked Pharaoh, "Pharaoh, I have promised my father to bury him back in the land of Canaan. And I'm asking you as my authority to allow me to go back and bury him, and I will return. I will assure you of that very fact." See, Joseph understood what it meant to be under authority. And my friend, all of us are under authority. All of us are ultimately under God's authority. And it's one thing to say, well, I'm prepared to do the Father's will, but are we prepared to do the Father's will, yet remaining under his authority, doing it his way? See, Joseph was prepared to do the Father's will, but he understood that he was under authority. So he said, "Look, Pharaoh, I want to bury my father. I believe I need to do my father's will, but I understand I'm under your authority. So therefore, I'm asking you for permission. You give me the guidance, you give me the direction to do the father's will." And so likewise for you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, it's so critically important that we do the father's will, that we are prepared to do the father's will. But also it's very important that you and I as God's people do the father's will the Father's way. Amen? Do the Father's will, the Father's way. I think sometimes our fulfillment of the will of God can be done according to our will and not God's will. And what a wonderful example was Joseph. He said to Pharaoh, "You are my authority. I promised my father I'd bury him back in Canaan. I'm asking you to give me permission to do my father's will." And then we move on from those two principles. So we see permission, we see preparation. Now, thirdly, I'd like for us to see promise, that Joseph, in his appeal for permission to bury his father back in the land of Canaan, which, by the way, was a long way away, promised Pharaoh, "I will return." Note there at the end of verse number 5 that he said, "I pray thee, now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again." No doubt there was an unquestionable trust between Joseph and Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh said to Joseph, "As you have promised your father to do, so do." Note then verse number 6 once again. Pharaoh said, "Go up and bury thy father according as he made thee swear," or made thee vow. Joseph made a promise to his father. "Dad, I will bury you back in the land of Canaan." But also he promised Pharaoh, "In fulfilling my father's will, I will come again." Joseph was determined to keep his promise. Not only his promise to his own father that was now in the eternal realm, but he was determined to keep his promise to Pharaoh, his authority. My friend, God keeps his promises. His promises are spelled out in the Word of God. There are thousands of precious promises contained within the Word of God. In Titus chapter 1, verse number 2, in hope of eternal life, that God promised, God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Note there in John chapter 10 for a moment, please. The Gospel of John chapter 10, verse number 28. See, Joseph was a man of his word. He promised his father he would bury him in Canaan. And he promised Pharaoh, "In doing so, I will come again." Note here in John chapter 10, verse 28, the Lord Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life." This is a promise. and they shall never perish. This is a promise. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. This is one of many, many promises found within the Word of God. Jesus Christ said, I give unto thee eternal life. And no man will be able to pluck you out of my hand. No man will be able to pluck you out of my Father's hand. For I and the Father are one. See, my friend, God keeps his promises. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That is a promise. And we can rest assured that God keeps his word. The word of God is full, thousands of promises. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 1:20, the Bible reads, for all the promises of God in him are yea. They are true. They are yes. In him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Oh, the world is full of broken promises, is it not? The world is full of broken promises. This is why 2/3 of all marriages end in divorce within 7 years. Why is that? Broken promises. We need to be people of our word. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4, the Bible teaches us, when you make a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. If you say it, do it. That is the Bible teaching. In our relationships with one another, we need to be people of our word. And Joseph was a man of his word. He sought permission, and in being given permission, he made a promise. He said, Pharaoh, I promised my father I'd bury him in Canaan. But Pharaoh, I'm promising you, after I bury him, I will come again. And child of God, I'd like to encourage you, be a person that is one that keeps promises. In our relationships with one another, in our commitments to Jesus Christ, let's be people of our word, because our God keeps his promises. He has promised us eternal life. And my friend, if you've yet to receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, God loves you and he offers you eternal life. In hope of eternal life, that God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And if you will receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can, based upon the authority of the Word of God, based upon the promises of God's Word, that in Christ you have eternal life and you will never perish. You mean, Pastor, if I repent of my sin and I acknowledge my need of Christ and I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm saved for eternity? Yes, that is what the Bible teaches. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's our hope as Bible-believing Christians, the hope of eternal life. Joseph made a promise to his father, and he was determined to keep that promise. Now, Joseph here is making a promise to Pharaoh, and he's determined to keep that promise. And I trust that you and I, as God's people, as we make promises to Almighty God, I trust that we are people of our word. And there could well be some of God's people listening to this message this evening that you've made certain promises to God, but yet you've gone back on your promises. I challenge you this evening on this Easter Sunday to repent of that and come back to a point of where you're prepared to admit your failure. You're prepared to say, Lord, I'm sorry I've broken my promise to you. I want to recommit my promise to you to do your will. Note the promise made by Joseph to Pharaoh here in verse number 5. The wording. He said to Pharaoh, I will come again. Think about that for a moment. I will come again. This phrase is found only one other time in the Bible. And it's found in John chapter 14, verse number 3, where the Lord Jesus said, If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. See, Joseph is a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ who keeps his promises. And it's interesting, I will come again. That exact wording, that exact phrase is only found one other time in the Bible, spoken by the eternal Son of God, the God of his word. Joseph is a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ who keeps promises. Jesus Christ said, I will come again. My friend, are you prepared for his coming? He will come unexpectedly. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, likened to a thief in the night, no prior warning, are you prepared for his coming? For if he was to come back tonight, if you have received Jesus Christ as Savior, then you will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall you ever be with him. That's our promise from God himself. In fulfilling the Father's will, beloved, for you and I to fulfill the will of our Heavenly Father, it not only involves preparation, and not only involves permission, doing the Father's will God's way, but also it involves keeping our word, keeping our commitment. See, Joseph kept his promise to his father, and he made a promise to Pharaoh, I will come again. And then we read on within this wonderful chapter, and we note the procession. So Pharaoh gives Joseph formal permission to bury his father back in Canaan. Note then verse number 7 to verse 9, please. Genesis chapter 50, verses 7 to 9. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph, and his brethren, and his father's house. Only their little ones, and their flocks, and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. And note verse 9. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. So we read within these verses that the processional begins. Permission has been granted. The processional begins. Joseph and his family make their way back to Canaan to bury their father. We read of a very great company that followed the body of Jacob back to Canaan. We note the details there in verse number 7 and verse number 8. Note all the servants of Pharaoh, and the elders of his house, and all the leaders, the elders of Egypt. I mean, this is some convoy. This is some entourage back to bury a Hebrew. Interesting. And then we read on in verse number 10. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan. And there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. Now the obvious question is, what was the route back to Canaan? No doubt it was probably similar to the one taken later during the Exodus out of Egypt. The procession probably followed the line of the Red Sea and then they crossed the Sinai Peninsula. Then they would have reached the south bank or the southern part of the Dead Sea. And they probably followed the coastline of the Dead Sea along the eastern bank and then up and from Jordan into the Promised Land. And it's important that we also bear in mind in this processional that this is Joseph's first time back in Canaan. It's been 39 years. It's a long time. 39 years. And note here in verse 11 that the company is so large that it was noticeable by the people of Atad. Note then verse number 11. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, "This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians." Wherefore the name of it was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. So we see that while this processional was taking place, just before they prepared to go into Canaan, there is a final session of mourning, a final 7 days of formal ceremonial mourning, according to verse number 10. Now, it's important that we understand that the Egyptians were very expressive in their public lamentation for the dead. They were very expressive. They would tear their clothing, they would smite their breasts, they would throw mud and dust on their heads. They would call out the name of deceased time and time again. They would chant to the sound of music. They were very, very expressive. So you've got to just envision the Canaanites looking, observing and thinking, what is going on here? And this carries on for 7 days. They certainly have the attention of the Canaanites. The local people, no doubt, would have concluded that this burial must be for an important Egyptian official. But probably couldn't work out why he's not being buried in Egypt. Think about it for a moment. They're obviously a host of Egyptians. The Canaanites recognize Egyptians. And they're thinking to themselves, what are they doing? This person must be a person of great prominence. But hang on, why are they here? Why are they burying an Egyptian in Canaan? My friend, the Father's will might not make sense to those looking on. That's the application I'd like to make. You and I fulfilling the Father's will might not make a whole lot of sense to those that are looking on that really have no idea. Even if you were to explain the Father's will for your life, you might find that some will still look at you a little bit blank. See, this is a wonderful example of that very fact, is it not? This great mourning by this host of Egyptians in the land of Canaan. What's going on? Why are they burying their own people in a foreign land? It doesn't make sense. And beloved, sometimes you and I will have to experience the simple fact that as we seek to do the Father's will, it will not make sense to those that are looking on. Even those that should know better will scratch their heads saying, what are they doing? They're Egyptians. Why are they burying, obviously, a very important individual in Canaan? Why aren't they burying him in Egypt? The Bible teaches us in Isaiah 55:9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Beloved, we need to be secure in the fact that we are doing the will of God the Father, even though some, if not most, will not get it. The disciples, for example, struggled to accept that Jesus Christ will be betrayed and killed. They struggled with that. They wouldn't accept that because they didn't understand the Father's will. See? And why would the people of Canaan understand what was taking place? But Joseph knew what he was doing. The Egyptians knew what they were doing. But the people of Canaan didn't know what was going on. So the Father's will might not make sense to those that are looking on. And you and I just need to accept that. And you might even go to great length to explain, this is the Father's will for me. This is the Father's will for me. And you still might get a blank look. You need to just accept that. That's just how it is. But let's read on. I'd like to draw one final application from Joseph and his brothers fulfilling their father's will. Note then verse number 12, please, and verse number 13. And his sons did unto him according as he commanded them. Note this in verse number 13. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. Now, the point I want to make is this. Look at verse number 13 carefully. So there on the border there, beyond Jordan, as the Bible teaches, they set up camp, they mourn for 7 days. And who goes into Canaan to bury the father? Well, the Bible teaches us, for his sons carried him into the land of Canaan. His sons carried him into the land of Canaan. The sons of Jacob alone carried the late Jacob into the land to bury him. Now, why didn't the rest of the company continue into the land? Good question. Did Pharaoh place a restriction on them? Well, we don't read of any restriction, do we? It's hard to believe that Pharaoh would restrict them. He's given permission for all of his officials to go. Did the Egyptians simply refuse to go any further? I don't think so. No. Did Joseph command them to wait? We're not told. But we are told that for his sons carried him into the land of Canaan. See, Jacob, Father Jacob, charged his son to bury him in Canaan. Didn't charge the Egyptians to bury him in Canaan. They were the ones to fulfill the promise made to the father. And I looked on that and I wondered now, why does it read that his sons carried him into the land of Canaan? And it doesn't say that they all went into the land of Canaan. And I thought about the fact that sometimes the Father's will, if not always the Father's will, is a narrow path that you and I will have to walk alone. on that path. So why didn't the entourage continue to the end? Well, it wasn't their burden, was it? It wasn't their charge to bury Jacob. It was the son's burden. It was the son's charge to meet the father's wishes. And my friend, there will be a point in you and I fulfilling the father's will that you and I will have to just go ahead and do it and stand alone for the glory of God. The support can be there to a point. But it will get to a point that you'll look behind you and you'll ask the question, well, where did everybody go? And that's just how it is in fulfilling the Father's will. There will be a point in fulfilling the Father's will that you will have to go ahead alone. Our Lord Jesus went to the cross alone, did he not? His disciples scattered there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Lord Jesus went to the old rugged cross. He carried that old rugged cross and died for your sins and for my sins alone. The fulfilling of the Father's will is often a lonely road. People might support you to a point, but when the crunch time comes, you'll find yourself on your own, my friend. See, Jacob was to be buried in a cave, already purchased for that very purpose. And the Bible teaches us, for his sons carried him into the land of Canaan. It doesn't say that his sons plus the entourage took him into the land. The sons carried him into the land of Canaan. Now I take that literally. His sons carried him into the land of Canaan. Now in burying their father in this cave, they would still have had to dig a hole in the ground and bury him. Do you think there was already a spot ready for Jacob? I doubt it. The cave was there. No doubt it was a large cave. But those sons had to not only carry his body into Canaan to the cave of burial, but they would have had to dig the hole and bury their father. My friend, don't expect others to understand your burden, let alone follow you, support you all the way. The Father's will, my friend, often is a lonely pathway. Yes, it is. People might support you to a point, but when you get to the brink of Canaan, all of a sudden, you'll find yourself alone. And we must take comfort in the fact that God promises never to leave us. He promises never to forsake us. See, Jacob was buried with his people, with people of faith, people of hope. The Egyptians did not have this same hope. And let me ask you this evening, do you have the hope of eternal life? Death is not the end for the child of God. It is simply a temporal separation that will be engulfed in a grand reunion with loved ones in Christ for all of eternity. The Father's will. Joseph fulfilled the Father's will. Jesus Christ fulfilled the Father's will. Are we fulfilling the Father's will? What's involved in fulfilling the Father's will? Whatever God's will is for you before your Heavenly Father. Preparation. Preparation. Don't underestimate the importance of being prepared to fulfill the Father's will. Permission. Make sure that you stay under authority. You ask God for specific guidance in fulfilling the Father's will. Promise. Keep that commitment that you made to the Father. And then we noted this evening within the processional, the Father's will sometimes involves you and I being misunderstood. misunderstood. That's just part and parcel of it. And also in fulfilling the Father's will fully, be prepared that you'll have to come to a point of just walking alone and continuing on into the land of Canaan, fulfilling the Father's will. May God help us all to be people that fulfill the Father's will. We serve a risen Saviour. This is Resurrection Sunday. Our Saviour is not dead, He's alive. He lives within the child of God. And my friend, if you and I claim to be a child of God, let's fulfill the Father's will. Let's do that which pleases the Father.